Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is the text that you have printed in front of you, but I'm going to read a few verses before that, beginning with verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. This is our text. C.S. Lewis once reminded his readers that Christianity is a fighting religion. I mean, after all, the Old Testament is a veritable quiver of darts and arrows and spears and battles and blood. Of the 39 Old Testament books, only 6 do not include the word sword in them. But isn't Lewis mistaken? Christianity is a fighting religion. Didn't Isaiah predict a time when plowshares would be made into, what, pruning hooks? Was not Jesus the Prince of Peace, lauded by angels at his birth as the one who would bring peace on earth, goodwill to men? In the garden, Peter struck off the ear of Malchus, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Put it away. They that live by the sword will die by the sword." So onward, Christian soldiers, a mighty fortress. Aren't we turning Christianity into hateful law instead of love? I mean, there is a significant movement in Christianity that believes this in this very day, in this age. Books written on the topic. Centerpieces of emergent Christianity, as it's called, really hail that kind of Christianity. Of course, Christianity is a religion of love, but Paul in our text is like a general drafting us into service because Christianity is, in fact, engaged in spiritual warfare. And Jesus defined his work, in fact, that way, as engaging in war. At one point, he said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." What did he mean by that? He did not mean a steel sword, but rather he meant the sword of the Spirit that would cut through sinful hearts and all the corruption and hypocrisy that this world really consists of ever since the fall into sin. Paul here reminds us that we are under attack by a frightening enemy. So if we are not in the battle, then we are its victim. Are we aware of the nature of the enemy attacking us? Of course, the visible effects of that enemy are all around us, but are we aware of the invisible text behind it all? In verse 12, Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." In the Nicene Creed, we confess that we believe that God made the visible and the invisible world. And part of that invisible world that he made rebelled against him, just as sinful mankind is rebelling, has rebelled against him. And those invisible forces now, to this day, are engaged in a spiritual conflict against you, to steal your faith, to steal my faith, to take and destroy the church of Christ. Scripture pictures the evil spirits as companies under the command of leaders who in turn are all under the monarchical rule of Satan, of the devil, all his legions who, like lions, are seeking to devour us. One hymn warns us that Satan has designed your fall. He's out there with a purpose, the opposite of Christ's purpose. Pagans in today's enlightened will scoff at these claims as mythology if they only knew how real they are. No speechless film festival, even though it might try very hard, and hopefully some of you will seek to do that if you do films, to capture the visible effects of that invisible world. But nobody can adequately capture the invisible world. It's something you must accept on the basis of faith, because the Word has declared it to us. The elect here in Paul hear a wake-up call. Let us not sleep as others do, he wrote to the Thessalonians, and he wrote to us. But let us take up God's armor provided for our protection, and let us join the battle. To the young Timothy, Paul wrote, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Now, Paul had seen the Roman legionaries, those hoplites, those marine-like figures who were known because they were the Roman legions for destroying anything in their wake. They were an awesome force. He had seen them with their armored belts and their shiny breastplates and helmets, long shields to protect organs, sword in hand or in shield. This text uses their panoply, as a metaphor, their armor, for the defensive and offensive weapons that we need, spiritual weapons. Today's skeptic might question the effectiveness of such armor. Maybe this is just so dated we can't get into it. It communicates very well. The crossbow could hurl a heavy bolt 300 yards, piercing the heaviest armor, gunpowder, brought an end to the old armor, including the Roman-style armor. 50,000 American troops wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, 1,500 now missing arms and limbs because of IEDs. These things revive for us the power of enemies to go and to do as they see fit. And they may remind us also that the most awesome enemy that is to be contended with is the one that we don't see. In the spiritual battle we are fighting, we need protection only God can provide. An armor that is invulnerable, impenetrable, indestructible, not physical but spiritual. And that is what we have in God's holy word, the sword of the Spirit, and in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who was and is the last man standing, because as our Savior, he is God. Christ is our helmet, our shield, our righteousness. When the devil attacks and accuses you, your sins are the kind of sin God will never forgive, or whatever it might be that causes your conscience to go and to turn away from Christ and his promises. We meet those lies with the sword of the Spirit and the sure promises of Christ, because God cannot and will not lie. It's his nature. Jesus Christ was and is the true strong man who took away all your sins at and through Calvary. And Paul uses the language then of the last man standing as an image here to provoke in us unfailing faith in the cross of Christ, through which salvation is invulnerable, through which your salvation is guaranteed as long as you continue in the faith. So here to repeat are our orders given through the Apostle Paul. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, taking up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and thus, in standing against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, we will indeed stand, because Jesus Christ is the last man standing in the field of battle as the victor. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh, that he might overcome the devil and defend us, poor sinners, against the adversary. We give thanks to you for your heavenly help, and we beseech you to attend us with your grace in all temptations, to preserve us from carnal security, and by your Holy Spirit to keep us in your holy word, in your fear, that we may be delivered from the enemy and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.